Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Well, good morning. Thanks for being with us here this morning. Galesburg Live. You see this building out there on Carl Sandburg Drive. You may or may not know what it is. There's a sign out there now that says what it is, but what do they do? RJ Racing and Quartermax is the company. Been around for quite some time. And, well, you're going to find out this morning what it is they do, and the fact that they are a worldwide company, a pretty cool thing here in the city of Galesburg. As we're joined by the founder and owner, Rick Jones of RJ Racing and Quartermax. Rick, good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good, Rick. Thanks for coming in with us. And Ricky Jones as well, part of the company. Ricky, good morning. How are you today?
Hello. Doing great.
Well, thanks for coming in with us here this morning. Very good. All right. Well, let's start, Rick. Let's do a little history here about RJ Racing, and we're going to talk a little about Quartermax as well. Let's go back to the start of just the interest in cars and working on cars and racing, where that came from for you.
Well, when I was a very young age, my sister and brother-in-law, they raced locally at Cordova and places like US 30 and Union Grove, Wisconsin, around the Midwest here. And they had a 67 Camaro, and they ran a modified production and some local pro stock back then. And I always went with them, and it just got in my blood. And, man, it's been in there ever since. And it's it was a good break for me, you know. And so that started, and as soon as I got my driver's license, I was up and at it.
And so you started, what, a 67 Camaro?
Yeah, they had a 67 Camaro, and I was, you know, pretty young. You know, I was born in 1959, so I was just a kid hanging out with them and going with them and hanging out in the garage, and I just took a liking to it.
I still, you mentioned US 30 drag strip. I still remember the commercials, and you probably do, US 30 drag strip.
Yeah. They had the best commercials of
yeah,
all.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did, absolutely. And then so it just kind of grew from there, the interest in cars and working on. And Ricky, I'm going to guess with you, it's probably a lot more simpler. Kind of was inherited, wasn't it?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, very much born into it, but became something I loved, you know?
Yeah.
You know, as I was growing up, mom and dad did offer, like, hey, you know, do you guys, am I interested in working at the business, or would I rather go, you know, am I interested in something else? So I was free to make my own choice, but to me, it was just natural. I mean, it just, I had a love from it. Since I was a little kid, you know, I'd go to the shop. They'd pick me up after school. I'd do my homework, play with Hot Wheels, and it might be 10 o'clock. They were still working out in the shop, and I'd fall asleep under dad's desk, maybe as a 5-year-old with the dog, you know, curled up. So I grew up at the race shop, grew up working on cars and just being around them and going on the road as a kid. I got a lot of cool experiences traveling the country, going to different racetracks as a kid, and just it's in my blood. Yeah, I love it.
Well, what do you recall the first time that wrench was in your hand that you loosened or tightened a bolt or actually working on an engine?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I must have been maybe 12 years old, something like that. And, you know, dad had always, you know, taught me lefty, loosey, righty, tighty and all that stuff growing up, right? So there eventually came a point where, you know, putting cars together, new cars that we're building, hey, putting screws in the floor, little fasteners, you know, simple things that a 12-year-old could do. He kind of started there, and then it kind of grew into once I graduated high school, I pretty much managed assembly for about 15 years where I put all the cars together and set them up, along with the guys that work aside, you know, alongside, but it's definitely a lot to learn, and it's fun to work on cars.
Rick, how about you? Do you remember you know, you going with your family and going to the races when you actually first started getting your fingers dirty and doing some work on an engine? How old were you?
Jeez,
been a little while ago. I know.
Yeah, I mean, I started at an early age, you know, helping my family like we talked about, and then when I first started buying my own cars, I guess when I was 15 and stuff, you know, I couldn't afford much, so everything had to be worked on. And my first vehicle was a 1949 Chevy truck, and it didn't run. You know, I had to get it running and stuff, and so it was always, you know, stuff like that. And then whatever vehicle I could get running, I always took up the Cordova and just did some test and tune and went down the track and it was a lot of fun, you know.
Well, I imagine part of the start of the business as well, scavenging parts to get your own vehicles to run, right?
Oh, absolutely. Back then, there was a lot more parts available as far as OEM stuff. And, you know, 1978, I bought a 69 Camaro, and turned it into a race car slowly and had a manual transmission. I've always had a love for clutches and manual transmissions, and had to go around locally to places like Lou's Transmission. He had a transmission shop on the south side of town. Yeah. I had to go over and dig through his boxes of parts and get some, you know, transmission parts to fix my transmission every time it broke. So, and of course, I didn't have any money, so you just beg, borrow, and steal and get what you could get, you know. And, you know, it was a good learning experience for me, too. You know?
So was the first love the racing, or was it the working, or was it the combination thereof, I can't race without working on them kind of thing?
You know, I grew to find out that, you know, racing during the summer was all good and stuff, and like this time of year I would be kind of worn out and burned out. My parts were all wore out and out of money, and I'd always make plans what I want to do in the winter and rebuild my car every winter and had plans to make it better and better and better. And that's what I did. So I actually enjoyed doing that. And, you know, when I was doing that, I said, man, I wonder if I can do this one day for a living. You know, it's like, really, I don't know if that could ever happen. But I tried, and lo and behold, it somehow worked out.
How many years later now? How many years you've had the company?
We've been in business. This year is our 35th year.
35 years.
As far as officially full-time. But yeah. I worked home in my garage doing it part-time. I had other jobs for over 5 years, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been doing it for more than that.
Over 40 years. Yeah.
Over 40 years. Oh, yeah, it's been a long road, you know. But it's I wouldn't change a thing, honestly.
Rick Jones, the owner of RJ Race Cars, and Ricky as well, part of the company, his son here this morning with us on Galesburg Live. So, you know, better than 35 years, a lot of time and effort has gone into it. We'll talk about when at that point when you made that decision and, you know, kind of the support you got, or was there any naysayers like, no, you can't do that, or did you have just a lot of support that, go ahead and do this?
You know, definitely, you know, my family, my mom and dad, they were always like, yeah, you know, go for it, you know, but you could kind of tell a little bit, it's like, oh, I don't know if that'll work, and I didn't even know if it was going to work, you know. Yeah. I had some people, you know, locally would say, I don't know if you'll make it or not, but man, they just gave me more drive to dig deeper and keep going. I just always had my head down, and I would, just like a running back, I wouldn't quit.
Yeah.
Even if you hit a wall, you hit something, you just back up and just keep charging.
Well, and how did you start? What exactly were you doing when you started? Were you helping people build engines, or did you start with the frames at that point? Or?
No, we don't do any really engine work or anything. We just mainly, you know, build the chassis and build the cars and the components, all the suspension components. Back then, I had to work on my own engines and stuff. I couldn't afford to have somebody to do it, so I always put them together and worked on them myself. But, yeah, what I do is do my own car, and then you take it to Cordova and race it. And you would get the local racers up there kind of say, well, man, that was nice. That's, you know, when you want to work on my car? You know, so they would bring it down, and I remember having to push my car outside, you know, so I could work on their stuff, and then I'd find a place. One winter, I took my car and put it in Winter Circle downtown. They were always really good friends of mine, Bob Kramer, and a lot of times in winter, I'd store my car inside their showroom, so I had room in my shop to build other people's stuff.
So when you're going to the races, obviously, not only modifications you had to do to your own engine and build it, mm-hmm. there was a lot of other stuff. You talked about the chassis and you know, roll cage and things like that. There was a whole lot of work that had to go in just to get it ready to race.
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of fabrication and stuff. Yeah. And then when you get all the fabrication done, you got to paint it and put it all together. I painted my own cars in the beginning, which wasn't very nice, but I tried, you know, the best I could. And that's a really good experience and something that's, you know, just great memories for me. You know, you think someday I want to get bigger and better and do all that. And we've really been fortunate enough our whole lives to have all that happen to us, you know, but still, you know, you think back and it's like, man, they were great times back then, even though they were difficult, short on money, hard work, and didn't have all the parts and stuff I wanted or could afford, but man, they were great times.
Well, and Ricky, I guess for you coming up also, you've seen more of the good side. I mean, you're too young to the hard times, although good times that your parents went through. But so for you coming up, you started working and dabbling. Did you start getting into the racing as well at some point?
Yeah, so I want to say early 2000s. Dad was racing pro stock at that point, and I became a teenager, and I was actually on his crew. So I would, you know, do service on the tires and maintenance on the transmission, clutches. When I turned 16, I started, maybe 15, started dabbling with carburetors. So over the next 10 years, I pretty much mastered tuning carburetors and engines, and really just took a, you know, took to tuning cars and racing them and wanting to learn everything there is to learn about one. And to me, that was one of the most fun things, is the competitiveness in you wants to always go faster to win. But to do that, you've got to figure out how, and you got to figure out why does it work? How do you go faster? So I always wanted to know how everything worked. So like I'd take a carburetor completely apart. I'd spray carb cleaner through every hole and see where it goes, and just figure out how it works. And then once I understood how it works, then I could learn what to do with it. So, but that was just a big passion for me. And then you take that back home to the shop, and then you have that whole picture of what it is at the racetrack with a car and what it takes to make one go fast. Well, now you can take that mindset back to work every day and say, okay, how do we make the car better? What can we do on the chassis? What can we do on the parts and suspension pieces that we bolt on, that we can either produce or manufacture for our customers or ourselves? We've always used our race cars as a test bed for new products that we've always tried to. Some things we tried, it worked. Some things we tried, it didn't work, you know. But that's what kind of led to, you know, the growth in customer service and basically the quality of products that we have today. And it's now been proven by many world champions and customers worldwide.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, what's that advantage? How do we get that advantage? Because we're talking in drag racing hundredths, if not thousandths of a second.
Thousandths, sometimes, okay. Ten thousandths.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. So there's whatever you find that tiny, might be a tiniest little thing, whether it's aerodynamics or in the engine or chassis or whatever, and that's what you're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a whole package. You're trying to find anything you can across the whole car, front to back, that can make it better. And it's also not just something you bolt on that, hey, it's a magic wand. It's a combination of how those all those things work together. So you might change one piece on the car and then learn that, hey, it didn't do anything, but maybe it does respond if you change four other things with it, right?
Yeah.
So it's all a combination. It's basically like who can bake the best cookies, right? It's the ingredients you put in and how you mix it and how you bake it, right?
Need six more grains of salt over here to make, I mean, it's probably that small of tweaks you might make.
Very much.
RJ Race Cars and Quartermax, Rick Jones, Ricky Jones joining us here this morning. Rick, your son mentioned that you'd been racing pro stock. Talk about the difference for people that might not know drag racing, the different levels. Because I know, you know, yes, I'll see it on TV, and I see different types of cars, whether I don't even know if they're called rail dragsters anymore, just different types of cars. Talk about the different classifications and what you moved up through.
Yeah, there's a whole lot different classes, and there's the sportsman categories, which is a lot of the stuff that runs locally, bracket racing and even sportsman racing, and actually started yesterday over in Indianapolis is the U.S. Nationals, and it's really the oldest prestigious NHRA race that they have every year on Labor Day weekend, and which I got to leave tomorrow and go to that. And but you know, there's in the professional divisions, there's Top Fuel and Funny Cars, which we don't build those or tune them. And then there's Pro Stock, and then that's stuff we're real special at. And
door cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're kind of modeled after a real car. Okay. And the real popular ones are, you know, late model Camaros, you know, like 2022 Camaros or Mustangs, you know. And then, so we build them at our shop, and then, and they're really intricate, made out of chromoly steel and carbon fiber and titanium and a host of parts like that. Very expensive cars, very hard to build, and all of our guys at the shop do a great job building them, and we got quite a few employees that handles all the parts and pieces and sales and all that stuff. So it's really a team effort out there, and so we build these things and get them painted and assemble them, and then go to the track, and then the teams, which Ricky and I have worked for a pro stock team for Eric Anders and Jeg's team and stuff over the years, and we've won a lot of races in NHRA, I would say.
I think we've won over 35 national events.
35 national and four world championships.
Wow.
And So that's a lot to our credibility and the people at our shop that help build everything and produce everything every day. So it's a pretty cool deal, but they're very difficult cars to build.
Is it the engine or the body style or combination thereof that makes it what's in the different class? Obviously, like with the funny cars, that whole body lifts up as one, I guess, carbon fiber piece. Or is it a couple of different things or what?
The funny cars are one piece, you know, carbon fiber bodies and stuff. But we never build that kind of stuff. Yeah. Ours has. The Pro Stock cars today have an all-carbon fiber body and Pro Modified, another class called Pro Modified. And they're all, you know, a carbon fiber roof and quarters and doors and front end. But they have a suspension, and dragsters and funny cars don't. So they have front and rear suspension and shocks and springs and all that. But they're super, super high-tech.
Yeah.
And they both have... And then they have manual transmissions and Pro Stock and clutches and stuff. So
ProMod has converters.
Yeah, ProMod has automatics and converters and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So there's differences there.
Yeah, ProMod cars are quite a bit faster. They'll go a lot of times like 570s in a quarter mile, like 250, 260 miles an hour.
Wow.
And Pro Stock will run 650s at 210, 212.
Wow. Still fast. Faster than most of us have ever gone. Yeah. That's for sure.
Very fast. And Ricky, when he was young, too, not only did he work on cars, but he started junior dragster racing at, what, age 10?
I think age 9 or 10. Yeah, wow. they do have a racing league for
What
for
kind
kids.
Of vehicle?
It's a dragster, but it's the only class they really have for young kids right now. It's just it's less than a half-scale dragster. So it's powered by a Briggs & Stratton 5-horsepower engine, even though they make more power than that. That's what they call them. So it's a lawnmower engine, basically.
But limits on how much power you can have in it?
Correct. There's rules. Well, there's different ETs for different ages and
for
stuff.
For different age groups, yeah.
So he started
some
out.
Some of them do run on alcohol and things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so he started out doing that. And then when he got old enough, you know, to get a driver's license and stuff, right away he got into door cars, you know, the bigger cars and stuff, and, you know, went racing. So that's what we always did. If we wasn't out racing and driving myself, we was always as a family, though. My wife, Bonnie, and Ricky and I, we always had some guys come help us, employees and stuff. And it was on the road a lot, you know, which really, over the years, made our business, as good as it is, because you can't substitute out racing and building a product, like Ricky said, and making a better product and making our stuff better all the time. If you just build cars and don't race them, you just can't be as good, you know. So we kind of do both, and then I feel we always build a better mousetrap doing that.
I can just see Ricky at some point, the riding mower at home, you started messing with that and tweaking alcohol, burning riding mower, you do the lawn in like 3 minutes, right?
Right.
Rick Jones, Ricky Jones joining us here this morning. RJ Race Cars here in Galesburg. A lot of people might not know about the company, what you do, Quartermax as well. We're going to talk more about the company and what you got going now. Coming up, this is Galesburg Live.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Our guest again here this morning, RJ Race Cars and Quartermax. I guarantee you've been by their building on Carl Sandburg Drive here in Galesburg, and you might not know what goes on there. Well, a lot goes on there. This is a worldwide company. Our guest, the owners, founder Rick Jones and his son Ricky, vice president, co-owner. Guys, again, thanks for coming in with us here this morning. So, Rick, so better than 35 years, actually more than that, you've been working on the vehicles. You got the company started. So what was the initial focus when you got the company actually started?
It was not easy, you know, it was difficult, but to try to build, work on cars, that was my love, you know, and try to figure that out. And it takes you a long time to figure it out, but I would just work on people's cars and do all kinds of different jobs and still had to do even some everyday welding and repair, you know, commercial stuff or even walk-in stuff just to, you know, keep cash flow going and stuff. But, you know, we did all kinds of stuff. But it was, you know, in the beginning, you don't really know. You don't know what it's going to end up to be. And I would have never guessed that's where it's at today. Yeah, I would say no way, you know, that we're – you know, 30,000 square feet, 25 employees, and making the stuff that we make. We got CNC equipment, water jet, and, you know, just we got some of the best fabricators in the world building this stuff, and all the parts and pieces and all the stuff we machine and cut every day. It's truly amazing.
So at what point did you start focusing? It's like, okay, well, there's this start. You know, you're doing all kinds of different work for people on different cars. And it's like, okay, well, let's start. Here's where this company is really going to maybe take off. We're going to specialize, start looking at this, whether it's the chassis or whatever the case. When did that kind of come around?
That was really day one.
Okay.
Because I loved the part of, welding and fabricating and the challenge of trying to figure out how to make a race car work, you know, and I was learning every day. So it's like when we started, I didn't know everything. It was just learning and absorbing and try to, like Ricky said, how do you, you know, design and figure it out as you go, not only how to make the car work, but to build a better car, you know? So it's been like that for 40 years, and we're evolving all the time.
Well, it's interesting. I think, Ricky, you had mentioned it's a really cool thing that it's kind of a trial and error thing that you guys were testing on yourselves, basically. You guys were racing, and yes. that's kind of how you find out. It's like, okay, well, we need to do this or we need to do that. So that's a great way to test it out.
Yes, I think that's kind of what sets us apart from other companies and other builders. There are other builders, like Dad mentioned, that do just build race cars or do just make parts for racing, but very few of them actually build and race themselves firsthand and have actually gone out and won championships and won races with them, and then offer that level of support and knowledge and experience back to their customer service. So I think that's what sets us apart as a company. It's something we're really proud of. And, Dad, I just want to say too, like, as I remember you telling me as a kid, speaking of U.S. Nationals this week, that you'd go over there and go up to the fence and watch Bob Glidden and Warren Johnson, some of those old pro stock racers. Yeah. And I remember you saying, hey, it was just a dream that, maybe at that time you had your Camaro and you were already drag racing at Cordova and you'd look across the fence and say, gosh, look at those cool pro stock racers. Look how fast those door cars are running. And it was kind of your dream, right?
It was my dream, and we would go over there and there was a drive-in theater right across the street from the racetrack. It's gone now. And we'd pay $10 each to camp in there. You know, so we had it rough. You know, we'd stay in a tent or whatever and get soaked and then walk across the street and go in the races. And it was my dream. And again, the U.S. Nationals is this weekend, and it's a huge race. There's 950 cars there.
Wow.
And, you know, and we're going there to race and the crew chief for the elite team. And it's really surreal. We have won that race in NHRA Pro Stock twice. And that was truly a dream to have that happen. It's unbelievable.
I remember that day like yesterday and just being there and like getting choked up in the tears of.
Oh, yeah.
Because like I know what we had worked for, 15 years as a family, as a race team to get there, to be able to be on that stage to tune and race at that level. But then I also know like to my dad, he's been going there since he was a kid and looking over the fence saying maybe someday, and then to be up there and hoist the trophy twice at pretty much the sport's largest event. It's like winning the Masters in golf.
Or the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Well, now there's some other kid on the other side of the fence looking at you guys saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's just really cool. Very special moment for the team and our company and our family. So,
are you still getting behind the wheel, Rick?
Me and Ricky, we have a few race cars that we race locally. We raced last weekend at Cordova at the World Series of Drag Racing, mm-hmm. which was the 68th annual race, and that was an awesome event.
A ton of people,
and we had a lot of our employees up there and family and friends, and we have a Nostalgia Pro Stock car that we have, an Oldsmobile Cutlass that we built back in the 1990s, and we bought it from a guy last fall, and kind of restored it over the winter, did a lot of work to it. So, yeah, we like racing that. And then the car that I bought in 1978, a 69 Camaro, we bought, I had to actually sell back in 1986 to make my company go better, have more
Dad's
money.
First race
yeah,
car.
Yeah, my first race car.
Actually,
I sold
car
it.
You drove to high school, right?
Yeah, I drove
it
to high school.
Oh, yeah.
And sold it in 86 and to help my company grow. and we bought it back like 5 years ago and completely redid it. But we raced that up there and quite often, and it's fun, you know.
What was it, the same owner you bought it back from, or how'd you keep track of it?
Well, I would see the car here and there, and I you know, try to keep tabs on it a little bit.
That's
and
pretty cool.
Actually, a friend of mine found it in Des Moines, Iowa, and we went over there for a Good Guys car show like 5 years ago, and he kind of surprised me about, hey, let's run over here and look at this car. And we went and looked at it, and there it was. And I walked in the garage, and I swear that the car talked to me.
Yeah. Like, you're back, finally.
Back.
Where you been?
Come, take me home.
Yeah,
take me home.
Absolutely.
You know, and we did, and we resurrected it. It's pretty awesome. It's the probably coolest 69 Camaro race car on the planet today.
Fastest time and top speed you've ever run behind the wheel?
For me, 6:48 at like 2:15
wow.
or so.
How about you, Ricky?
I think I've been 5:84 at 2:44, 2:45.
Wow. And you guys ever gone? You guys ever gone head to head?
Locally at Cordova,
yeah.
we've raced
a couple times.
Just really? Last year, we raced.
Yeah. Who's got bragging rights?
I think.
I don't. Remember.
You know, I don't remember.
Well, that's good. No
we
rivalry.
Just did it. We just did
no,
it
no,
fun.
No.
Yeah.
It's like I was supposed to drive the Cutlass last weekend, okay. And unfortunately, we got rained out and cancellations and stuff all summer long. I never got a chance to drive it. So Ricky had it. He drove it last weekend and did a great job. But we have no ego about it. Who drives or anything?
You know,
like
I think
that.
I think
fun.
I think I remember now when we lined up. I think you did leave first. I think you did give.
Oh,
me.
I think I did. But you know, we strive when we go racing. Like if we go professional racing and pro stock, we're there to win.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
You know, and when we go,
I mean that's sports, right? That's
we're one of we're two of probably the best pro stock tuners in the world. I ain't saying the best, but they're in the top five for sure. And because our credentials really shows that.
I say the record speaks for itself,
right?
Right? Yeah.
But when we go race locally, it's not about winning at all. It's about having fun and taking family.
Yeah, as a family, yeah.
Fun first.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you can win at the same time, but win, lose, or draw, I still have the same reaction, you know. So it's just about having fun.
Absolutely. RJ Race Cars and Quartermax. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Quartermax side of the business and more about family as well. This is Galesburg Live. Our guests, Rick Jones and Ricky Jones from RJ Race Cars and Quartermax. We'll come back with more here on Galesburg Live. Our guests, Rick Jones, Ricky Jones, RJ Race Cars and Quartermax here in Galesburg. It is a worldwide company. You might not know everything they do. Well, that's what we're kind of finding out this morning out on Carl Sandburg Drive here in Galesburg. It's been around for more than 35 years and, again, known worldwide, especially in the racing industry. The owners, co-owners, and vice president, Ricky Jones, Rick Jones, the founder as well. So, Rick, let's talk a little bit. So RJ Race Cars. So what the main focus with RJ Race Cars is what right now?
To design, build, and produce the best drag race race cars and suspension components in the world.
Okay. And how about, let's see, so let's talk Quartermax. I keep mentioning Quartermax, chassis and racing components. Let's talk a little bit about that, Ricky, and that side of the business.
Sure. Yeah, so, you know, through the 90s is RJ Race Cars, and they were building the RJ Race Car brand. And our cars were going out really in the mid-90s and starting to win championships, multiple championships per year. You know, it came along with the internet and catalog and all that. So it was about 1999 when basically we produced our first parts catalog. Dad actually had a vision of, you know, hey, we're building so many cars that we had parts lined up on the shelf ready to go. So when it was time to build the next car, we grab and go. And we can build those cars quickly. Why not put them on the internet, those parts? Why not put those in a catalog and offer those to people at home like Dad used to? Couldn't afford to have a shop build the whole car, but he could buy the parts and do it himself, right? So that's where the Quartermax brand came from, to basically produce those parts, sell those parts, the same quality, the same level that we were using on the RJ Race Cars to go out and win championships with, that same quality and knowledge and all that just available directly to the consumer.
So you embrace the technology right off the bat then with the internet then.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's all good. You know, it puts all that stuff out there in a catalog. It only gets the people that have it. But internet really, you know, our website really opened it up worldwide. And it's what's great about that, it's live, right? So you can change prices today or change information, add a new product.
Add a new product.
And it's live, you know, the catalog. By the time you get a catalog done and it comes back and printed, it's already, some of it's outdated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's expensive. And so we just focus on our website, and we sell a lot of stuff worldwide, you know.
What? Go ahead.
I was going to say we service about 20,000 customers and independent shops per year.
So where else in the world, other than the United States, is drag racing really big? Where is there one country or part of the world that's bigger than another that you sell a lot to?
Actually, about 10% of our business is international. Mm-hmm. Drag racing is actually really popular in Australia, the Middle East, South America, Europe, Canada, even Mexico. I mean, it's really a worldwide sport, and we're known, you know, pretty much as one of the top places to get all your parts from when it comes to building these specific types of door cars. And, you know, we ship parts worldwide every day.
Do you ever hear feedback like that guy, Rick, that started out like you, and they've ordered your parts, put it together themselves? You hear it's like, man, I'm so glad I hooked up with RJ Race Cars and Quartermaxes. I put this together with your components, and I'm successful with it. Do you ever kind of hear those stories at all?
Yeah, absolutely, all the time, you know. Yeah. And they send us emails and give us feedback and stuff, which is great because there's a lot of home builders, and that's our biggest part of our business is home builders. And that's just like I was when we first started. I couldn't afford to go out and have somebody like us build a car. You know, people like doing that for a hobby. And they buy the parts from us and put the cars together, and it's pretty cool.
I'm guessing you're probably pretty unique. You're probably one of the first people to do it this way, to have it like this for those home builders, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just kind of hit me one day. I was like, you know, we can't build enough cars. Even today, we can't. We could probably sell 4 or 5 times more than we could possibly build, so we just build the components. We already have them and let everybody else. So there's a lot of small chassis shops that do stuff at home, or they got a smaller shop. They don't have time to build all the parts, so they just buy it from us and put it on their customers' cars.
You know, it was interesting. We were talking the other day. You told me that you still, you know, some of the local guys sometimes still can show up at the shop and find something they need to build as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of street rod guys and hot rod guys and racers and stuff. People come in every day and come up to our service counter, and they buy all kinds of parts that they need. So, yeah, it's great for them, you know.
So what, you said 25 employees now?
Yeah.
Wow. Pretty amazing, and that's grown over the years. And are you expecting more growth? You like kind of where you're at now, or
Ricky can answer that.
Yeah, because Ricky, it's yours in the future,
yeah,
right?
They're the future. Yeah. You know, I'm.
Well, let's say Mom and Dad started the company, you know, 35 years ago, and I've grown up there, you know, as a kid, and grown into. And done a lot of different aspects, from sweeping the floor when I started out, sweeping the floor, taking the trash out, to when I was 10, they sat me down and taught me how to TIG weld, to putting cars together. And then in high school is really kind of when I took actually a web design class at GHS and learned how to do that. Also had I think it was a full year of AutoCAD through Carl Sandburg and GHS. So learned how to do computer-aided drafting and things like that. So I do a lot of drawings, and just a lot of skills I use every day at work actually came from things I learned in high school.
Yeah.
So through that web design and catalog, so I helped design some of our catalogs and get our website up and going. And that's kind of what I've focused on is the marketing, the racing, the growth. Dad's always head up the you know, production of manufacturing and the race car, and that's why we make such a good team. Now my wife actually works there now too. And today, actually, my mother-in-law started. So it's my mom, my dad, me, my wife, and even this week was the first week of kindergarten for our kids. So they came after school and hang out. So it truly is a family business.
Could be sleeping under your desk at some point, right?
Eventually, right? So it's definitely a family business, along with all of our great staff, which many have been there for many, many years. So we appreciate them greatly. Couldn't do it without them.
So are you seeing some growth in the future, or you like you kind of like where you're at now? And
I'm always, you know, up for growing. I'd like to always maintain. I really don't want to ever go backwards. But to me, I don't really try to worry about it too much. I just, like Dad said, you put your head down and you just do what the best you can today, and you keep running, keep charging, and then, you know, we'll look up 10 years from now and see where we're at, you know. But we do have, I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to grow. Our mindset is to do so, to continue to develop new products. So not only do we manufacture all of our chassis and suspension parts in-house, like Dad was describing earlier, I think we have over 5,000 different part numbers that we actually produce in-house. But we're also a distributor and a reseller of over 100 other brands and companies. So if you need wheels, brakes,
shocks,
you know, anything like that, you can also get from us. So pretty much anything you need to build or maintain or improve or update your vehicle, your race car, that's what we're here for, front to back. So
RJ Race Cars and Quartermax here in Galesburg, going strong, more than 35 years, 25 employees, and worldwide. Everybody knows them in the racing world, and hopefully we'll be around for a long, long time. So I got to ask Rick, with all the new technologies on new cars, all computer chips and all that, do you even mess with that stuff, or are you just going to stick with the stuff prior to that day and age?
You know, I'm not so much of a techie guy. Ricky is, but, you know, my deal is, you know, more hands-on, you know, our fabrication.
And, yeah.
But we really, really love the design element and building something new and then taking it and testing it and then, you know, design it, build it, and then put it out for market for people to buy. But I do want to say that, you know, I was born in this town, and it's pretty amazing. You know, we had a great car show down here, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
And so it's awesome living here, you know.
We
always kind
Galesburg.
Of thought, man, there could be somewhere better, you know.
But I did see Penny down there, by the way.
That was, yeah, Penny was there.
That was good looking.
Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, my 59 Bel Air. It's a pretty cool car.
But, really.
It's just great living here, a great community, and centrally located, so we're close to a lot of tracks and close to Interstate 74 and 80 and stuff. Yeah. So it's a great place to be and a great place to raise a family.
Rick, congratulations, number one. I mean, thanks for you guys here being here in the community and,
you know,
employing all the people you do and all you do here, Ricky, as well. And congratulations on what you guys are doing, and best of luck in the future as well.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.